Certainly glad to see everybody here today. We do have some visitors with us, so we're glad you came our way. And so we're going to talk about some things, and we're going to talk about things that are an abomination to God. And of course, as Joey read from his, I think the New International Version, said despicable things. And that's how we need to look at it. But these things, we know, are disgusting to God, and He doesn't like it, and we should certainly avoid these things. As we look, when we read that something is an abomination to God, it is something the Lord hates and despises. And the sad thing is, so many people get involved in it, and the Lord hates it. And it does not matter that most of these are recorded in the Old Testament. They're still wrong today. Because we can go to the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5 and read pretty much the same things. And of course in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when it talks about these people who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about the same things. So, they're still wrong today. If it was wrong back then, it is wrong today. So these things that the Lord will not tolerate. And so the following is a list of things which are an abomination to God. And we're going to cover these, and some of these are going to kind of overlap. Leviticus 18 and verse 22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Well, one thing we're going to notice about abominations, if God says it's an abomination, our society says, go ahead and do it. Our world tells us it's okay, or you must accept it, or you must tolerate it. That's what they're trying to get us to do. But God said He hates it. So we say what God says, and get, who's the bad guy? Of course we are. We become the bad guy. Leviticus 20 verse 13 says, "If there is a man who lies with a male as those who lie with the woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them." It is sin. And yet mankind wants to say, well, it's okay. And they say, well, Jesus was wrong for about these, and the apostles were wrong. We're talking about this stuff. And the Old Testament wasn't anything we need to pay attention to. So they were all wrong. And so God would accept these people today. We hear that all the time. See, that's homosexuality. And you know what? If a homosexual wants to come to God, they can. They just have to give up their sin. And that's what they don't realize. They think they can go ahead and keep doing their sin and be acceptable to God. It doesn't work that way. And it's just like any sin. It doesn't matter what it is. Whether you're stealing pens from the workplace or you're doing something to harass your neighbor, it's still wrong. And homosexuality, yeah, that's a nasty sin. But so is every other sin. God doesn't classify sin. It's sin or it's not sin. See, we could also add any of the alphabet soup used to describe sexually deviant behavior. And you know what that, you know, the LGBTQRSTXYZ and all that stuff. All of that stuff. We could include all of that. It's an abomination in the sight of God. All right. It's condemned in both the Old and the New Testaments. In Leviticus 18, 19 through 26, we're not going to take time to read it. We'll just quote a few things. "As for you, you are to keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not do any of these abominations, neither the native nor the alien who sojourns among you." All right, the passage we see: immorality, adultery, sacrificing children to Molech, homosexuality, bestiality. You think those are pretty bad? Well, yeah, they are. We also see that it applies to everyone and not just the Jews. And so God's message, God's words, God's commandments apply to everybody. It's not just for Christians only. He doesn't expect Christians just to be not doing these things but let everybody else do them. No, it applies to everybody. God's word has been given to everyone. Titus 2:11 says, "The grace of God hath appeared unto all men." And it teaches them to put away this stuff. All right, Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. All right, let's look at some of these things. See, passing through the fire means the literal sacrifice of children in a sacrificial fire. We hear about the sacrificing to Molech, one of the gods of the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And so this was an abomination to God, to sacrifice your children to a false god. And then divination is one who claims secret knowledge, especially of the future. We might call them fortune tellers today. But anyway, it's translated witchcraft and is used of false prophets as well. And an observer of times is one who pretends to foretell the future. And of course, we have a lot of them out there, and there are a lot of people predicting what's going to happen in the future. And, you know, we all can do that, can't we? Can you tell me what's going to happen tomorrow, if there's a tomorrow? Well, I imagine the sun is going to rise in the east and set in the west. See, I'm pretty good, right? Because tomorrow you're going to say, he was right. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about these different things going to happen. But see, they always speak in generalities, don't they? They always keep us something that's obviously is probably going to happen. See, and then a soothsayer or fortune teller is what we call these people. Then an enchanter is like someone who observes serpents, or have all seen the flute player as he charms a snake. You've seen that over in the Middle East. The guy plays it and moves his flute around a certain way, and the snake just sitting there going back and forth, just keep an eye on it. That's snake charmers. I mean, that's what they are. See, a witch is one who uses witchcraft, or a sorcerer. Either way, a charmer is one who supposedly casts a spell. You know, we've heard about this. Well, I'm going to cast a spell on you and turn you into a frog or something like that. Of course, they never do that these days, do they? You've never seen anybody turn someone into a frog. I mean, they're still a bunch of fakes. They never did before either. See, a consulter with familiar spirits is one who consults an oracle for information. Or we have the case of the witch at Endor, supposedly was able to bring people from the dead back so someone, their loved one, can talk to them. We have this all the time, right? We have these people that they sit around their little go, oh, he's speaking through me, and he's telling you this, that, and all that stuff. And we who know better, we just think it's so goofy and so crazy. But remember what happened to the witch at Endor? She was summoning, oh, come on, Samuel, come on back. And he showed up. And you know what she did? It scared her so much. She'd never seen that before. And that was her profession. See, a wizard is supposedly what they call a wise man. Perhaps one who claims to be wiser than he is. And that he can do more than he rarely can. I mean, that's like Confucius or something like that. But anyway, a necromancer is one who claims to consult or inquire of the dead. Same thing as the people say the channeling is what they call it. But that's what they are. Now, 2 Kings 23 and verse 24 says, moreover, Josiah removed the mediums and the spiritists and the teraphim, or the wizards, and the idols, the images, and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might confirm the words of the law which were written in the book of Hilkiah the priest, found in the house of the Lord. For a long time, the children of Israel didn't have the word read to them all the time. So they were involved in doing whatever everybody else was doing. The nations around them were bowing down before the Baals, the false gods, and doing things for that, in the name of their religion, doing incredibly stupid things and dumb things and evil things. And these people should have known better. They were the children of God. They're the ones that God took care of, brought out of the land of Egypt, gave them this land, and they should have known better. But they had forgotten all this stuff. And every now and then a king would come along and say, we got to get rid of the sin out of this place. And finally, Josiah comes along. He's better than any of the others. He says, okay, the other kings, they got rid of maybe the idols, or they got rid of the Baal worship, they got rid of this or that, but they kind of left some things hanging around. And of course, the things that were left hanging around is because the people wanted them around. So Josiah removed all of these. All these wickedness. Everything that God said was an abomination, Josiah did his best to try and get rid of it and remove it. Deuteronomy 25 verse 16 says, you shall not have in your bag differing weights, and a large and a small. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a full and just weight. You shall have a full and just measure, that your day may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. I mean, that's not too hard to understand it. It means be fair. If you're a merchant, be fair. You know, imagine you're several years ago, I know a lot of ladies would go down to the discount store and get a bolt of fabric, and they'd have it measured out. And the lady would sit there on the big table, she'd measure out, I need 2 yards, okay, and then she'd cut. And so you would expect that a yard is 36 inches, right? It hasn't changed any. Now, a new method does change, but in our day and age, a yard is still 36 inches. And they found some merchants were selling 35 inch. They called a yard 35 inches. And there was kind of, that's what we call shortchanging. You shortchange the customer. And, of course, that was happening quite a bit. So finally, they had to come up with a way and say, we've got everybody to get on the same page. So they came up with the Bureau of Standards, Weights, and Measures. And now all of a sudden, there is a standard established that everywhere, everybody follows the same standard. You ever notice that when you buy a new phone or some sort, they have the plugs that work in there, and you can go to the store and buy the discount plugs. They still work in there. Why is that? Because everything has a standard. Everything has a size. Batteries have certain sizes, and electronics have certain things, and everything works off standards. But yet, if you cheat on it, you're going to deprive somebody, or you're going to be stealing from somebody. You're going to be shortchanging them, and God says, don't do it. You be fair. Now, if you're going to be off, give them a little extra just to make sure. See, in this context, the Lord is speaking of weighing and measuring fairly and properly with weights and measures. Because we don't like it when the measure is wrong. If we want to spend money on a pound of French fries, we expect it to be 16 ounces, right? 15 and a half ounces is not going to cut it. And do you know there's some people actually take it home and measure it, put it on their scale and weigh it out? All right, Deuteronomy 27, verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord. Idols is what we're talking about. The things to be worshipped. And of course, we know there's more than just idols. There's a lot of things people worship these days. It could also have reference to anything purchased for the purpose of worship. You know, some people, you know, you walk through the store and then you walk this one aisle, they have all these candles here. What are those candles for? They're not to provide light. They have a religious significance with them. And so people do that, and they actually sit down and bow down before that thing and pray to that thing, whatever image might be on it. Some people buy pictures of supposedly some guy sitting there praying to heaven, or some woman standing there with a child in her arms. And they worship these things. I mean, that's just as bad to go and buy something as it is to make something. Deuteronomy 20, verse 18. In order that they may not teach you to do all their detestable things which they have done for their gods, so that you would sin against the Lord your God. Don't learn from these people. When Moses got the children of Israel together and say, we're going to go in and take possession of this land. Now don't do what they do. That was the message. Don't do what they do. Were they successful? No. They didn't chase them out. They didn't kill them like the Lord wanted. Then all of a sudden, hey, that looks like fun. Of course, it was an abomination to God, but that really didn't matter by that point. They were turning away from God right and left just so fast. And if we're not careful, our people will turn away from God just so fast. See, this is talking about the worship and service to false gods. And that's what they represent sometimes. And even if there is an image of Jesus Christ, if anybody would know what he actually looks like, it would be wrong to worship that image. It's wrong to worship a cross. Even though we know he went to the cross and died for our sins on that cross. And we're to preach Christ and the cross. We know that about that. But to use it as a religious symbol, some people wear it as jewelry. They wear a cross. And supposedly it makes them look religious, right? Matthew chapter 7, we read about those. Be cautious and mindful of those who would go in the marketplace with their tassels lengthened and the phylacteries on their head and make the long prayers. They're looking for the praise of men. Some people actually do that. They put a cross, oh yeah, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. And they want people to see that. But what really gives it away is how they live, how they talk, how they act. See, the children of Israel were commanded to wipe their enemies out, and they didn't do it. Going back to the jewelry, if you want to wear a cross because it's a pretty piece of jewelry, there's no problem with that. Just be mindful that somebody else might see it and think that you hold a religious significance to it. And that's what we have to be aware of, because we don't worship things. We don't hold certain things in reverence that way. Because God is the one that we should be worshiping and giving our attention to and our worship towards. And it's not a piece of jewelry. So you may not have a problem with it. And I may not have a problem with it. But if there's a chance someone else has a problem with it, it's probably wise just to not be doing it. The children of Israel did not chase their enemies out, and they learned the ways of the Canaanites and sinned against God. In Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, you've probably heard this many times over the years. There are six things the Lord hates, and seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. There's a whole list of things right there. And there's a lot of people going around, and basically, that's all they're all about. I'd like to say speaking of politicians, but I'd probably get in trouble for saying that. So I won't say we're talking about politicians here. Now get that out of your mind. I didn't say it, so don't hold me accountable for that. But still, there are people who are this way. Proverbs 3:32, for the crooked man is an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. God is intimate with the upright, those who are faithful. And the scriptures speak many times about how God takes care of the faithful ones. But he's against those who are wicked. And this, the crooked man means a perverse or devious person. Someone that, like maybe a robber would sit in the bushes waiting for someone to come along and jump out and beat them up and take away their goods or something like that. This is a perverse person, a person who wishes evil upon others. The King James uses the phrase a froward person. Proverbs 15 and verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination of the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. See, God makes a distinction. There's a lot of contrasting verses here in Proverbs. God says one thing and then another. He doesn't like the bad, but he likes the good. And this is all this is. God doesn't like the wicked, but he likes the righteous. And so he watches over the righteous and takes care of the righteous. And when we talk about the wicked, it means a lifestyle a person chooses to follow. And that's what he's talking about. Any lifestyle not serving the Lord is considered wickedness by God. And that's what it is. Any lifestyle that is not serving the Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever name you want to use, the God of heaven, is considered wickedness. And even those people who are out there, they bow down before the God of heaven. They bow down and worship him, but yet they don't follow his commandments. The same thing. They are considered wicked as far as God is concerned. Now, we know a lot of these people. They're just salt of the earth, just good people. Really nice. God still considers them wicked because they do not serve the Lord the way that he has commanded. They've come up with their own ways, but they don't follow the Lord's commands. Proverbs 16 and 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Yeah. Pride is one of the worst sins an individual can be guilty of. You're guilty of something else, you can recognize, okay, I've done something wrong, and I need to repent of that. But a person who has pride, they didn't do anything wrong. They won't acknowledge that. Hey, I'm perfect. I don't need to confess sin. I didn't do anything wrong. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit says, the one who says, I have no sin, is a liar and the truth is not in him. Pride is the worst of all these sins that I can imagine. We want to categorize sin sometime. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bad things out there. We have the bank robbers and the rapists and all these people doing all this deviant sexual behavior and all. We think we want to figure, okay, this is bad, 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 but a little white lie, no big deal. I mean, we might do that. But just about every sin a person does, they recognize it unless they have pride. And then they don't recognize their sin. So that's why I say pride is one of the most dangerous sins a person can be involved in. See, pride prevents acknowledging your own sins. And pride keeps you away from God. There's no doubt about that. Proverbs 17 and 15. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Don't we see this in our world today? They call evil good and good evil. We'll read that in a minute. Sin is glorified. Oh yeah, if God said don't do it, then it go for it, folks. That's what the world says. You know, just do it. Go for the gusto, whatever the phrase you want to use. That's what this world is telling us. Go and do it. Righteousness? Oh, you don't want to be like them. No, they have no fun, or they're just wicked, hard-hearted people and stuff like that. And then, of course, Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And we see in this world today, everything God says is bad. The world says, it's okay. God tells us things that are good, and God gives us a lot of good things. The world has no use for it. They don't want it. Proverbs 24 and verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. This is speaking of mocking and scoffing at others, making fun of others. Someone trying to do something and you say some evil words about them or comments about them. Person might not be able to control their situation. They might be a midget. And you go around, hey, look at that short fellow. Look at that dwarf or whatever. I mean, that's just not right. They see somebody going to church. Well, where are you going, you high-minded individual? I mean, they're going to do stuff like that. Mocking and scoffing at others. See, this is one of the few times in Scripture which talks about men are to view something as an abomination. All the other abominations we read about in Scripture, God considers it an abomination. And we should also. But this is one of the few verses in the Bible which says it is an abomination to men. And of course, everything the Lord sees is an abomination. We should also. Proverbs 28 verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. We hear about these people praying all the time. God's not going to listen to them. If they're not willing to follow God's law, He's not going to hear and answer their prayer the way they want. This is the person who refuses to learn what God teaches. And so even if he or she prays, the prayer will be rejected by God. This is why they said in the New Testament that we know God does not hear the prayer of sinners. Peter said that, 1 Peter 3:12, and then the man who was healed, and he said that before the council, John 9 and verse 31. In Ezekiel 18, verses 12 and 13, we read, "Hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die, his blood shall be upon him." Now God speaking through Ezekiel says there's different types of people in this world. There's righteous people who are trying to do their best to serve God, and then there's people who don't want to serve God. And that's who he's talking about here. These people, they do it in different ways. Oppressing the poor. Yeah, that happens. This world takes advantage of the poor. They do that. The needy. They're spoiled by violence. They think violence is the answer sometimes. And they make a pledge, but they don't live up to it. Oh yeah, I'll do that. And then they don't do it. All of these are abominations in the sight of God. And this is a portrait of the wicked. And the Bible gives us many places a portrait of the wicked. Psalm 10 is one example of that. He talks about the wicked and what they do. And of course, we go out throughout the scriptures and we have all these portraits of the wicked. And the message from God is, don't do these things. Plain and simple. Ezekiel 22 and verse 11. "And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee had humbled his sister, his father's daughter." In other words, he's talking about some pretty nasty stuff. We used to use the word incest, right? We used the word incest, but when was the last time you heard that word, except what I just said a few seconds ago? You haven't heard it very much, have you, in our world? And it's a problem. It's a problem in our society because our whole society is driven by sex. There, I said it. This is speaking of sexual sins that the children of Israel were guilty of. You know, you would expect that the heathens out there would be doing such stuff. You would expect the people who weren't following God would be doing this. But no, these were God's own people were doing this. And that is not right. Malachi 2 and verse 11. "Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange God." You read all of Malachi chapter 2 and chapter 3. These people were not treating God the way God deserved to be treated. And they were being challenged by the prophet to turn their life around and start serving the Lord. But what did they do? They had so much pride. Well, how have we robbed God? How have we despised God? I mean, they take their blame, they're blind and they're broken and they're spotted and offered to the Lord in sacrifice, which he didn't command. But yet they take the good and sacrifice it or offer it to the governor. I mean, they had their priorities all wrong. And by doing so, when they start paying homage to the false gods, it's like they marry the daughter of a strange god. And so this is a reference to the idolatry the people were committing against the Lord. And they were still committing idolatry. Now, after the Babylonian captivity, they never really were found guilty of serving the Baals, the false gods. That kind of left them. That kind of broke them of doing that. But they had their own kind of idols. Just like today. People don't really bow down before idols today. You know, some communities, they have their little Buddhas there, and they put their plates of fruit in front of them and the candles around them. But for the most part, people don't observe idols the way they used to. But yet, when we think about it, anything that takes the place of God becomes an idol. Anything. And if you're more interested in finding your Pokemon gins on your phone than you are in seeking the Lord, you've got a problem. Idolatry can be anything. We sometimes look at the entertainers and the football heroes and stars and give them homage. And we forget to give homage to God and to serve God. Luke 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. That tells us, if the world gives approval, God don't like it. That's the best way of saying that. If the world says, hey, you're okay, God is not okay with it. It's an abomination in his sight. Yes, mankind looks at things differently. They look at it from the human perspective and human feelings. They don't ask God what they should be doing, right? So what is approved by man is usually rejected by God. And they say, you know, go with the crowd, the majority. No, that's the wrong way of looking at things. There is a majority out there, and that is God. He is the majority over all of it. And it's his decision. Revelation 21, verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Who's going to be going to heaven? Anybody who does an abomination. Abomination, as we've already seen, covers a multitude of sins. Anybody who continues in sin, they're not going to heaven. See, no person who does an action considered an abomination will enter heaven. That's a truth. That's a truism. We need to understand that. Only the names of the righteous are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they're the only ones going to heaven. If their name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's where they're going to go. But if their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and some people get this idea, well, once it's there, it's all... No. We have a lot of passages of Scripture that God's going to blot out their name out of that Book of Life if they don't serve Him and are not faithful. See, we consider most of these things detestable, abominable. And most of these things we talked about this morning, they're pretty nasty. Pretty bad. We think it's disgusting and we don't like it. At least most of us should feel that way. I'm not saying we all do. We should feel that way. Some people might get a kick out of some of this stuff. The point is, we must not do them. And if we do, we are wrong and subject to the punishment of God. No doubt about that. Everybody who does them is wrong and going to be subject to the punishment of God. Now the question, do you have abominations in your life? And don't say, oh no, I'm a Christian, I don't do things like that. Anything that God does not like, we can call an abomination. Consider that thought. I mean, this has been something we have to consider. And the world really doesn't like it, but you know what? We've got to be interested in what God wants. God wants us to be saved. He provided everything we need for our salvation, 1 Peter 3:21. He's given us His gospel message, which is a description of Jesus Christ dying upon the cross for our sins. He told us to change our ways, to repent of our ways, and start living a different life, and then to confess the name of Jesus before men, and then be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then we're to walk faithfully, we're to live faithfully the rest of our lives, even to the point of death, if that is necessary. Now the question is, if you have abominations in your life, are you willing to put them away and start serving the Lord? We can help you. We're stand ready to do that, and we're going to encourage you to make that change in your life if you need to do so. While together, we stand and sing.